Hello, everyone, and welcome to another preview show here where we look at the World Tour events. And today it is the big one, the Hell of the North, Harrogate, the Queen of the Classics, whatever you want to call it, the third monument of the year. And here to discuss all things Harrogate is Patrick, still in Scotland, hence why he wasn't there at the Tour of Flanders recap. A few of you were asking, but yeah, Patrick, I mean, Pirate Bay, last year we had quite an iconic edition.
Yeah, I think last year was really insane in the shape that I think Phillipson was the big surprise last year. But of course, we won't have any Wout van Aert this year, sadly. That's a bit of a shame, but we do still have the winner from last year, which is Mathieu van der Poel. He is still here, saying that it's going to be a massive fight for the break. That's been what Roubaix has been like the last few years, because we've seen the likes of Dillier and Dillier and, you know, Jamie Vermeersch, people generally made it quite far into the race who go into the break. So it's a really interesting race from that aspect, and also like just the cobble sectors, of which there are many. And it's going to be a great race. And I think it's one that the fans love. So I'm really looking forward to dissecting how things are going to go.
Yeah, I mean, so many classic additions, as you said. And yeah, the weather forecast, it's saying that it is going to be dry on Sunday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's going to be wet. So that might have some impact on the recons, if I'm honest, because nobody's going to be reconning on a Saturday right before the race. But yeah, I mean, Patrick, without further ado, what does the route look like from Paris-Roubaix?
We're taking pretty much 260 kilometers for this race, so it's a little bit shorter than that on the beach for Flanders. We start off in Compiègne and we go to the Roubaix Velodrome, hence the name. We have 29 cobble sectors, including the 5-star sectors of the Clouet d'Alembourg. We've also got the Mons, Montélève, and the Califour de Lavre. Those are the only 3 5-star sectors in the race. Of course, it really opens up in the Alembourg. That's where we've seen a lot of, like, the race really ends up. That's where a lot of the big moves are made, because the cobbles are so brutal. And then, of course, we've got, you know, a lot of 4-star, 3-star sectors. But yeah, it's really the fourth from last one, the Carrefour to Lap, which is the 5-star sector. It's 2.1 kilometers long. And by that point, you know, we're getting up to 54 kilometers of cobbles in the legs. So it's roughly a fifth of this race is made up of cobbles, which is why it's so brutal. And then, of course, we've got the Roubaix Velodrome to finish, which is what we're all very much used to. We've seen some great battles in here with the likes of Gilbert and Follett, Sagan versus Dillier. We've had a few additions of just some solo winners, like Terpstra and Van der Poel. But, I mean, speaking of those riders, should we go and talk about who's actually competing in the race?
Yeah, isn't the question who can beat Mathieu van der Poel? I mean, when we were doing the Milan-San Remo preview show, I was so excited, because if Mathieu van der Poel won, there would be so many different things. He'd be the first back-to-back winner, he would be the first world champion, and something else. So there is the same kind of intrigue here for me in the stats department. He would be the first Tour of Flanders Paris-Roubaix winner since Cancellara back in 2013, so that's quite cool. But what makes it even cooler is he would be the first world champion to do this since 1962, and now that I've said it, it's not going to happen. So sorry, Mathieu van der Poel.
1962. We're talking over 60 years. Van der Poel, we may as well talk about him. The Tour of Flanders winner, without his big rival Wout van Aert here. It's looking good for Van der Poel. We don't have a full start list yet, but he currently has Phillipson and Caden Groves. Caden Groves being a bit of a weird one for me, but I guess it could work. But Phillipson, of course, finishing second place last year. Certainly going to be two good cars to be playing, especially since Phillipson, Valano, San Remo winner. He's looking in fantastic form this year. And I think that he's going to be one who was a surprise last year, but that's not going to slide this year. He's going to be marked as well. And whether they might even use him as an attacking option, or whether he's going to be the pure sit on everyone else. Mathieu's going to be attacking and you're going to follow the moves. And then, you know, if it comes down to a sprint, great, you'll be there to do that. Considering how they played the Tour of Flanders, they've clearly got their heads switched on in how to do a race tactically, especially a monument, and manage the race. So I think Alpecin are really in the driving seat, and I think that's how they're going to do it. They're going to maybe get somebody of a break. They're probably going to use Van der Poel as an attacker. and then have Philipsen as a sprinter. And if it all came back together, Vanderpool will work for Philipsen, is how I would see it. Because I think they've both got a fantastic shot of winning this race. And it's more about the team winning it, despite the 62-year, you know, record, or, you know, the last time the world champion doubled up. I think it'll be more about winning another monument and making it out since 3-3 this year.
Good maths that. Yeah, 62 years since 1962, so it does work. But in terms of, like you said, the auxiliary staff or riders, you have to take Axel Laurens, you have to take Florent Vermeersch. These two guys were absolutely studs in the Tour of Flanders marking moves. And then Sylvain Dillier as well was doing a lot of work at the beginning. As you said before, he's a former second place finisher in this race. Yeah, one of those quite unusual ones, to be honest, like you said. Yeah, I think you're right. It is Mathieu and Jasper Philipsen. And yeah, like you're saying that it is just the road. They might just be like, the road's going to decide who wins. But either way, we're going to win as a team.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the road makes such a big impact. Like, you see so many punctures in this race. It's ridiculous. Somebody could be in such fantastic position, have fantastic legs, and then they just get booked at the wrong time, very much like Wout last year, and then that can really cost you the victory. So it is a bit of a gamble, you know. You have to get a little bit lucky, but, you know, being in the correct position and being able to take the correct line is certainly going to help you to navigate the tricky cobble sections and see any problems coming up, because if somebody crashes in front of you, that's just, that could be game over at that point. But I mean, even though this team doesn't have Wout van Aert, it's the lead spike. We'll go to them. Dylan van Baarle, Christoffel Port, Matteo Jorgensen, obviously winner of Wilsdorf Lantern recently, Kirsten Hagen's event, Tim and Mick van Dijker on the team as well. So they've still got one more slot to be filling up there. I'm not really sure what to expect from this team, Scott, to be honest with you. Van Baarle and Laporte, of course, he's had his stomach issues, so it's really Jorgensen, I think, is the big one for this team that I'm looking towards. You know, we've seen him winning Paris-Nice. It feels like a guy who's so good at climbing couldn't possibly be that great on the cobbles. This is more like a rouleur one, but I think that there's a real change in the way that cycling is done, and it wouldn't surprise me if Jorgensen, as an all-rounder, is competitive in this race.
Out of all the Paris-Nice winners that we have had, it was Tadej Pogačar I would have wanted to see. I just had Roubaix, but yeah, I shan't name him. He's not in this race. Yeah, it's a mixed bag, like you said. Laporte, stomach problems. Dylan Baarle hasn't really been looking too good, which is, yeah, unfortunate as well. And then Jorgensen, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't see it, but he's got the form and he kind of faded as well when he tried to keep up with Mathieu van der Poel. Oh, it just absolutely shows the beast of a rider Mathieu van der Poel is even more.
Yeah, absolutely does. I think maybe this middle spike could do good in trying to get somebody into the break. It's all very well saying, let's just get somebody into the breakaway in the race, which is probably the hardest to get into it. But maybe somebody like Van Baarle or like Kirsten Hagenes might be slept on a little bit just because they're not like the biggest, or like they're not
Van Baarle, the former winner.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. But people might be like, oh, you know, he's not got the results so far, so you might give him a little bit of leeway. But maybe he's actually like the silent assassin who's going to do really well, but nobody knows that he's just like tapering perfectly for this race. So I don't know, maybe as a team without Wout, they might get somebody into the breakaway instead, rather than just relying on the race just coming back together and trying to beat Van der Poel mano a mano.
I mean, maybe that has been like a 200 IQ plan from Visma Liefspike from the beginning. They're like, Dylan Baarle, you take it easy in terms of results. We're going to win Paris-Roubaix with you because you're going to sneak into the break and you're going to have golden legs and nobody will see it coming. Yeah, or maybe he's just not there. I mean, he's a great rider. But another team I want to talk about is they did the incredible feat of 3-5 in Tour of Flanders, UAE Team Emirates, one of them being Morgado, obviously. And Tim Wellens finishing in 12th, which was his best result at the race. But Morgado, you're a big fan of him, the Portuguese wonder kid, and Nils Poller getting on the podium. He's another one who's also finished on the podium here in Pyro Bay. So UAE Team Emirates, do you think they could do something here, maybe as a team?
Hopefully they decide on who's going to be a leader, perhaps, rather than four people or we're trying to go through it. I think Pollitt, in my eyes, makes the most sense. There's somebody who's finished on the podium of this race before. He was decent in E3. He finished on the podium of Flanders, so he's clearly got good legs, and he is the type of rider who really suits this Paris-Roubaix parkour. So I think that Pollitt, ideally, is the perfect candidate for them. I wouldn't be surprised if Björk gets added to this start list as well. You know, he was good in Flanders too, and he fits this style of parkour as well. So I would call it as the leader. I'm not sure how Valence has gone in this race, and also Morgado, this is his debut, so I'm not sure how much weight I'd put on his shoulders. Then again, he debuted in Flanders and seemed to do just fine, but he's more of a punchy rider, and I don't know whether this style of race suits him, but it won't surprise me. He finished in the top 10 again. He just seems on just such a really good year so far. But yeah, I'm really looking towards all that, I think, with this team. He just seems to be having a good year. I mean, it's easy to forget that he finished on the podium of On Loop as well. So he's clearly a man who's having great success in UAE Team Emirates since joining them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, yeah, not really anything more to add there. But yeah, UAE Team Emirates, certainly a strong squad from that weird Tour of Flanders performance. In terms of, yeah, because now we've lost like big, wait, actually no, we've got one favorite team, I think, left. Sorry, Mess. Lidl Trek, obviously been very strong this year. And apart from that Dorstal Flandering crash, which was unfortunate, losing Alex Kiers and Jasper Stuyven, who would have been at Tour of Flanders, and Mats Pedersen was also caught up in that crash. But yeah, Mats Pedersen finishing fourth last year. Tom Skoinge is not going to be here. I asked him, he's preparing for the Ardennes. So, what do you think of this, skeleton? Well, not quite skeleton, but like definitely injured Lidl Trek.
Yeah, it's not as strong as it could be, like you said, because of the loss of Stuyven and Kiers. But I do think that Pedersen is still a good shout for this race. And I also think Milanis, he is very similar to Gannon, I think. And Gannon did good in this race last year. So I don't see a reason why Milan couldn't do well in this race as well. I think they've definitely got a two-prong approach, I think. I don't think it's just all on Pedersen. And especially since Milan avoided the crash completely into Wild Store, but, you know, maybe he's feeling a bit better. But Pedersen was animating in Flanders. He wasn't just kind of like filling out the positions. He wasn't just filling up the numbers. You know, he was trying to animate the race. And I think that maybe a little bit more time from the Wild Store kind of crash that went on. Yes, he seemed fine, but maybe just a bit more time. He might be a bit better. And yeah, Roubaix is just a bit of a lottery. And I think a Lidl Trek, yeah, Pedersen Milan, I think they've both got an equally good shot. I wouldn't just be focusing on just one of them. I think that the best way for them to try to do something in this race is to try and counter Alpecin's Vanderpool and Philipsen by having two options up there as well.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's such a shame. Imagine if we had the fully fit Lidl Trek team against Alpecin De Koninck and with Wout as well. Like, that is a showdown and a half at both Roubaix and the Tour of Flanders. But we're robbed of that. But maybe next year, who knows? I didn't remember this, but you remember Mats Pedersen, he had doing a recon. He showed it on Instagram where there was a buggy in front of him. And he was, yeah, that was quite, I forgot about that clip until the top five favorites video. And just very innovative training in a way to do motor pacing on the cobbles. So I don't know if that attack in Tour of Flanders was just, I don't know how my legs are feeling after that crash. I'm just going to go all out and use this as a training, because the real chance for me is Paris-Roubaix. I don't know if he's thinking that, because he's very cagey now in interviews, so he'll never say that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he could be on something. Yeah, I think maybe he wasn't feeling 100% at Flanders, and maybe just a bit more time, he could be a real threat at Roubaix for the weekend.
But anyways, we might as well jump into some outsiders. I'm already going to say Josh Tarling. He's going to be there for a second year in a row. 17th at Tour of Flanders, why not? I mean, other riders, Alberto Bettiol was up there as well. I never thought I would say this rider, Luca Mazzato, the new Tour of Flanders second place finisher. What, it was a surprise for him as well. He's finished top 20 before in Paris-Bays, so maybe he can carry that form into this. Arkea, they have found a golden goose here, and they need to keep the eggs coming. In terms of other riders, who are you kind of looking towards as a potential top 5, top 10?
Although he's not on the start list yet, I do expect Magnus Sheffield to be here. I do think that he could be a big contender, considering that he finished, I think he was 7th place at Flanders. So he's certainly won. Lars Kaarno, again, didn't hit the mark at Flanders. I think a lot of people just suffered from, yeah, maybe they got, that was the crash. They get stuck behind a crash, and it's just, Lars Kaarno was up there in Flanders. I do remember, like, he was on his wheels. So he's clearly looking good, and I do think that, yeah, Lars Kaarno is just knocking on the door like a big podium on a big one day race. And I think that this could certainly be it. A bit of a weird one, Riley Sheehan. I remember calling him out at the beginning of the year when we were talking about our podium predictions. And yeah, I do think that Riley Sheehan could be a bit of a surprise. Paris-Tours winner last year, he finished 12th at the Tour of Flanders, so he's clearly looking okay. He could make it into the break, or he could be a real dangerous name to be looking out for. But other than that, maybe Servatchal from Uno X as well could be a tasty little outsider to be going for. But you know what I was more surprised by? Bettiol has never done this race. Ever. I looked before we did this recording. I couldn't believe it. He's never ridden Paris-Roubaix. So that's a bit of a strange one for me. Oh, and also Mohoric announced. Like you say, you did an interview. I mean, you talked to him about this race. He says that it's a big target for him, so Mohoric as well has got to be included in the list of people to watch out.
I mean, Ewan did in his very weird English over English accent that he put on, which I thought was very funny. I don't know. But has he been in great form though? He's been like, he crashed that for Flanders as well. So Lawrence Rex,
yeah,
who finished in top 10 last year. Lars Rex.
Yeah.
I mean, we're always going to say Binnie, but I think this is Binnie's first attempt at it. So, I don't think Binnie's form's been like bouncing around a bit. Kasper Asgreen as well. Who knows if he has the legs. He was up there towards the front at some point.
I also think maybe Jordi Meijers before a Hansgrohe, third place at Kent Bevelgem. He's that sort of big frame, 1m90 rider who, yeah, he's a sprinter, but those types of riders really excel at this sort of race. So I think that, you know, Jordi Meijers is a name to be put into the mix as well.
But anyways, coming to our favorite part of the show, and that is the predictions. And if any of you watch the World Tour predictions at the beginning of the year, let's just forget about it. Because, well, actually, Patrick's could still come true because you said Mats Pedersen was going to win. I said Wout was going to win. Obviously, that's not happening. And I said Mats van der Poel second. You said, who did you say second? You said Laporte third. Oh, you said Wout van Aert second.
Yeah.
And yeah. So anyway, that's all nullified. And who is on your podium this year?
I think in third place will be Jonathan Milan. Second place will be Magnus Sheffield, and in first place will be Mathieu. He's winning by like a minute, easy.
Yeah, it was the fastest edition last year, wasn't it?
No, we'll break it again.
It seems to be every race now is the fastest edition or whatever, but
yeah.
I'm going to say in third place is Mr. Gent Wevelgem, Mats Pedersen. Second place, Mathieu van der Poel, and in first place his teammate Jasper Philipsen, who outsprints him as the two come alone to the Roubaix Velodrome.
I love that. I think we'd all like to see that, actually. That'd be quite cool.
Maybe they're doing their rock, paper, scissors like Tadej Pogačar did with Rafał Majka in that Tour of Slovenia stage.
Oh yeah, there was another viral video to look at.
And bonus prediction, where will Josh Tarling finish?
I'll go with ninth.
Wow. Okay, I was going to say 23rd.
That's more sensible.
Yeah. Well, who knows? He might prove me wrong completely, which I hope. But anyways, that's basically it for our preview show here of Pirate Bay 2024. And make sure to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and let us know down below who you think is going to win the race. Is it based on Matcha Van Der Poel's show? And of course, check out Audi Cycling as well. I think there's going to be a Velo Games for this one. And if you want to see more of Patrick, he's also available on the Echelon Cycling podcast, which we just released episode 62. So enjoy that as well. But with that, thank you very much for watching, and we will see you around.